Now, beginning the news review in Hong Kong, anti-government protesters have stormed into the parliament building amid anger at a controversial bill that would allow suspects to be sent to mainland China to face trial. Protesters smashed windows and forced their way into the building by ramming a metal cart through glass doors. Hong Kong's officials slammed the storming of the building as extreme violence. Police also warned of appropriate force if protesters refuse to leave the building. Now, the protest comes as the region is marking the 22nd anniversary of its handover from Britain to China. The territory has been the scene of demonstrations for weeks against the controversial extradition bill. Hong Kong has already postponed debate on the bill indefinitely, but protest leaders have demanded that the legislation be formally withdrawn. They also want the city's leader, Carrie Lam, to resign. Now, let's get some information and perspective from our guests who are joining us from Beijing. We will have Einar Tangen, who is a political analyst. Good to have you with us, sir. What do you think has caused this anger and maybe fury among the people in Hong Kong? They just storm into the building. Police is calling this extreme violence.
Well, quite frankly, this has been brewing for quite a while. There's a very strong minority of people who believe that Hong Kong should be independent, despite the fact that it is, in fact, part of China. They believe that if they protest, that this somehow will change the equation. I don't think that's going to be the case. The extradition treaty was largely a pretext. It was a political theater. The extradition treaty itself was much watered down if you compare what they were proposing for China as opposed to what they had actually passed and agreed to with the United States. The United States could extradite somebody if it was within a year, punishable by a year or more in Hong Kong. And in the case of China, it had to be 7 years. And specifically, China was not allowed to to extradite people for any kind of political, religious, or economic reason. It had to basically be for some sort of bodily crime or financial crime like fraud and things like this. The irony here is that, you know, the average Hong Kong person would never even face any kind of extradition under these terms, but there are those very wealthy who might. And it seems that somehow the very wealthy have convinced the very poor, the ones who've been victimized over these years by the lack of jobs and opportunity within Hong Kong, although it's very rich, to fight their battle for them. And it's a very strange series of events.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, let me go to another guest of ours, somewhere else in China, in Chongqing. We have Carl Zha, political commentator, who's also joining us. Let me ask Carl's opinion, why this is happening, and if this extradition bill is the main cause for this. Carl Zha? Well, it looks like we have lost contact. So, Einar, let's go on. What about Carrie Lam? Looks like that the people in Hong Kong are also not so satisfied with her performance, and they want her to resign.
Yeah, there have been a number of instances. First, Carrie Lam kind of went outside the box. She decided that there was a case that she thought would make a good reason to have an extradition treaty. What happened is a Hong Kong man and his girlfriend went to Taiwan. She was pregnant. She was murdered. And then he went back to Hong Kong. Now he's wanted in connection with that murder in Taiwan. Carrie Lam said that after 22 years, it was time to have an extradition treaty. It'd be kind of like Northern Ireland not having an extradition treaty, a treaty with England in order to return suspects who were accused of crimes. So she pushed it forward, and then she started continually weakening it. Meanwhile, it was seized on by the pro-independence group as a sign that somehow Beijing was taking over Hong Kong. And they used that, as I said, for political theater purposes, and they whipped up the crowds. They had a number of demonstrations, which were grossly exaggerated. They kept on claiming that they had millions of people in the streets. Quite frankly, the streets don't hold millions of people. Hong Kong, if you know it, has fairly narrow streets, only a few broad ones, and the physical limitations of bodies and the number of available square meters makes it impossible to achieve those numbers. But putting that aside, what you have here is a group of people who have stormed into the Parliament building, and they're saying that they want the rule of law, that they don't want totalitarianism, they don't, they want order. Yet they're creating graffiti, they're defacing everything, acting lawlessly. So there are going to be real questions. In terms of Carrie Lam, there's an 8-hour period now going on towards 9, where there has been no police intervention, no action, whether it was deliberate to show exactly what these protesters were capable of, or was it timidity? No one knows. There will be an investigation. Probably at this point, Carrie Lam has lost the confidence not only of Hong Kong, but probably of Beijing.
And I know one last question I got for you, and that is, what do you think things will unfold in Hong Kong, given the circumstances? Will the protests go on, or will they just go away? What's future holding for Hong Kong?
I don't think that they're going to go away. The question is, what actions are going to be taken? Obviously, you cannot have a country that is descended into chaos, into lawlessness, into tyranny of the mob. This hurts Hong Kong, and this is the great irony. Here, these people are shutting down the government, but the government is one that serves the, especially foreign businesses that are located in Hong Kong. And without the ability to do work, they will leave for Singapore or Shenzhen or Shanghai, but they will not stay in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is about business. If you can't do it there, they'll leave. And the irony is that the Hong Kong people, the ones who are protesting now because they don't have jobs and housing, will be that much poorer.
Right. I appreciate your comments. Sinar Tangen, public analyst who joined us from Beijing. And unfortunately, Carl Zhao could not join us from elsewhere in China. So that brings us to the end of this in News Review.